the most action-packed content from the top mobile experts. This is the App Masters Podcast with Steve P. Young.
Are you looking to make your in-app messaging more unique? Well, you can elevate your communication with Foji Custom Emojis. Designed from authentic content, their custom emojis convey genuine emotions and meanings. Whether it's for individual chats or mass communication, Foji seamlessly integrates across all your favorite platforms. Learn more by going to fojiapp.com. That once again is fojiapp.com.
Hello, everyone. I hope you all are doing great. Well, before we begin today's special podcast, let me assure you that I've not hijacked this channel. Steve is away attending his daughter's camp at the moment, and he'll be back next week with another round of exciting topics on his app marketing for you. So since Steve isn't here today, we have decided to talk about some of the lesser-known topics in the industry. While we all are familiar with Google Analytics and AdWords, little is known about this sneaky little tool called Google Tag Manager, which has been around over here for a decade now. Well, you all can use this tool to track important events, page views, video views, button clicks, and virtually anything you want on your website without needing to code or even access your website's backend. So to discuss this tool, we have our sales and marketing head with us, Alok Bharti, who has 13 years of experience in digital transformation, working with several startups to billion-dollar companies. Also, joining us today is Dheeraj, who is on our App Growth team, and he's going to be here to answer all your questions on ASO and app marketing. And I'm your host, Yash. I represent App Masters as their performance strategy and growth lead. So without further ado, let's welcome Alok Bharti and Dheeraj Sharma.
Thank you, Yash.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Dheeraj. Hi, Yash. Great to see you guys
again. Hi, Alok.
Hello. Okay. And hello, Miguel. Hello, Vivek. I can see two people have posted their comments on our YouTube as well.
Hi, Miguel. Hi, Vivek. Vivek is from our team. Thanks for joining, Vivek. Awesome. All right. Alok, I have a special question for you. What is Google Tag Manager, man? And why do we use it?
Right. Great question, man. I mean, this is crazy, especially because, you know, Google Tag Manager has been around for over a decade now. I remember using Google Tag Manager when I was in UK about 13 years ago. And I'm surprised, you know, how little is known about this tool, which is why, you know, I thought, you know, maybe we should do a podcast on why we should be using Google Tag Manager. And yeah, basically why we should be using Google Tag Manager. Okay. So, you know, let's get into, you know, to answer your question, which is why we should be using Google Tag Manager. Now, we can use Google Tag Manager for various purposes. We can, but it's mostly used to, you know, to manage codes, tracking codes that we place in our website, right?
Gotcha.
For example, you know, if you have a website and you might want to track page views, you might want to track certain events like clicks, could be button clicks. You might want to try. You might want to track video views, how many people are clicking on a video, you know, even how much, you know, how what percent of video has been watched. So these are all the different parameters that you might want to track. And events tracking is relatively difficult when compared to, you know, tracking standard URL views, because you can just go to analytics and you can create a goal and it asks you to enter the page URL, which is easy. So you don't need to, you know, go through any tracking or you don't need to go to the website's backend in order to track page views, right? But in order to track events, if you go to analytics, it gives you a piece of code. And then you need to go to the website's backend, and then it has certain parameters which you need to, you know, hard code in the website. Now, with Google Tag, right? So with Google Tag Manager, everything becomes really, really simple. Because, and the second thing is, with, you know, if you're managing all the codes on the website yourself, you need access to the website's backend, right? And you probably know, as digital marketing people, you know, not everybody trusts us with their website backend details, so we don't have it all the time with us, right? So instead of, you know, going back and forth with the with the development team, what we do is we basically install Google Tag Manager, which is a one-time setup. So we send, you know, Google Tag Manager codes to the web admin, and once Google Tag Manager is installed on the website, now we can use Google Tag Manager as as a pipeline to basically push the codes that we need, track whatever we want, right? And yeah, so that's what it's basically used for. One of the benefits of Google Tag Manager is that, you know, if you install too many codes on your website, you know, Facebook Pixel Tracker, Google Analytics, and then Google AdWords tracking code, TikTok, Twitter tracking code, you got a bunch of tracking codes. And then later on, if you got a custom coded website, for example, or even WordPress, and then you want to go back and you want to make changes to the codes, it looks very cumbersome because you've got too many codes all scattered across the places, right? So with Google Tag Manager, you know, this management becomes a lot easier as well. Right. So
I think just a small question, Alok, here. Can we use Google Tag? So you just mentioned about the website side of things. Like, is there any other uses? Like, if, for example, let's just say if I'm running an ad over Facebook or over any other, you know, social media platform as per se, can we use Google Tag Manager there as well? And if yes, then what's the process behind it?
So, well, basically, if you want to track Facebook or, you know, TikTok, if you want to track ads running on any platform. So I will show you the process right here. So basically what you do is you first install Google Tag Manager container. And then within the container, you need to be firing different tags. So you install a tag for Facebook Pixel. So Facebook Pixel tag will help you track Facebook events. And then you can install another tag for Google Analytics, for example. And that's how you connect Tag Manager with Analytics. Okay.
All right. Got it. Yeah. Got it. Okay.
And by the way, you can also track app events. So it's not just limited to websites. But for this live stream session, we will just focus on the web version because, you know, look at the web and app, it's a lot for just one live stream. So let's start off with the web version, okay? You guys ready? Excited about it? Google Tag Manager?
Amazing. That would be really great. All right. I'll just say hi to one more person over here. Hi, Tanshu. Thanks for joining. And then, Alok, would you mind sharing your screen so that we can start here?
Yep. Okay. Let me start sharing my screen. So can you guys see my screen now?
Yeah. Yes, we can.
Okay. Great. Google Tag Manager. So why GTM? I think we have already been through this. And this is just a, you know, representation of what GTM is and how it works. So you have your website. And then in the middle, you've got Google Tag Manager. And then within Google Tag Manager, you're managing different tracking codes. Now, there are some key concepts that you need to be aware of.
Okay.
There are a lot more, I would say, but let's just focus on the basic ones, and the concepts are for container, tag, triggers, and variables. So once you create a Google Tag Manager account, now within one account you can have multiple containers. Now you can think of it like one container for one website, or one container for one app. So if you have a business and say, for example, you've got three different websites, then ideally you need three different containers for those three websites. And if you have two apps as well, then you need two containers for two apps as well. Then you will need to maintain five containers. But if you just have one website, for example, and let's not get into the complexities of cross-domain tracking right now, we're just talking about one domain, one tracking, okay? Then you would have one container, you know, within one website, right? So once you install a container, then you need to install, you know, different tags, as I previously mentioned. So different tags for everything that you want to track, okay? Facebook, Google Analytics, AdWords, whatever. Now, in order for the tag to fire, it needs a trigger. So a trigger is basically a set of rules that define how exactly or when will the tag fire. And variables are the values that will be passed on to Google Analytics or, you know, whatever platform that you want to pass that event to, okay? So, I mean, let's proceed with this because it can get confusing. So once we get into, you know, live demo, we will have a better understanding of how these concepts work, okay? You ready?
Yeah, I'd love to know more.
Okay. So I've spent hours and hours, you know, learning about Google Tag Manager and events tracking. And I feel like it's really not that straightforward, especially when if you go to YouTube and you look at videos. So this is my humble attempt of simplifying Google Tag Manager in seven easy steps, right?
Okay.
Starting with the first one, easiest one, which is you need to create a Google Tag Manager account. And and create a container. So let's start with this. I've got a Google Tag Manager account here already. Mm-hmm. So, oh, I don't have an account. Right. So let me start by setting up an account. It's pretty simple. It says, you know, mm-hmm. account name, App Masters, country, okay. and then container setup. I can name my container App Masters as well. And then I'm using it for web. And as you can see, you could use it for iOS, Android, you know, accelerated mobile pages and server side as well. But we're just focusing on web for now. Okay. Now, when you click on create, it just says yes. And then it will create the account and the Google Tag Manager container for you. Right.
Okay.
So here we are. Okay. Now, the code that you see here is your container ID.
A container ID.
Container ID. You can just copy the container ID from here. And if we go back here, now the next step is, so we're done with step one. Okay, let me just bold this. So step two is connect Google Tag Manager with WordPress or your website. Now, going back to the Tag Manager, if you have a custom coded website, you know, if you're a developer, you probably already know what to do. You need to take these codes and you need to paste them exactly where it says. If you're not a developer, you take these codes and you email them to your developer with instructions, and you know, you probably know what to do. You basically have to paste these codes on the in the head section, and then immediately have the body tag on your website, right? But the thing is, if you're using a CMS, a content management system like WordPress or Shopify, Magento, you know, any CMS, I would say, even e-commerce platforms, then all you need to do is you need to go to the shop section, you know, the marketplace within your CMS, and you should be able to download a plugin for Google Tag Manager, any plugin will do. So I've got WordPress. I've got WordPress here. And the plugin I've downloaded is Google Tag Manager for WordPress options. Any plugin would do. I've just used this, right? Now, the next thing is, connect Google Tag Manager with WordPress sites. It's pretty easy and straightforward. We need to copy this.
Container ID?
This container ID, yes. Okay, right. I've copied it. And the next thing I need to do is, I need to go to WordPress, scroll down to the section. In the plugin, it will ask me to, to enter my Google Tag Manager ID. So I can just do that.
I have a question here, Alok. So we are talking about container ID. What is the difference between Google Tag Manager ID and container ID? Why are we putting container ID in Google Tag Manager ID here? Is there a difference or is it just all same? Both are the same things.
So in order to connect Google Tag Manager from with a website, I told you it's one container per website. So websites are connected at a container level, right? Websites are not connected at an account level. For example, even in analytics, when you create a website, when you want to install analytics on a website, you install it at the property level. You do not install it at the account level. Got it? And then you create different views for different properties. So similarly, Google Tag Manager, if you want to connect it, you do not connect it at the account level or even tag level. You connect it at the container level.
Got it. Okay.
So which is why, is that clear, Dheeraj?
Yeah, that's clear. And just a cross question, like if we have two container IDs,
use one, delete the other one, simple as that. Unless you have two different websites or you want to confuse your developer. Okay, shall we proceed?
So
next thing, I click on save changes and I hope it just saves everything. And then, now, let me go back to the presentation. So connect GTM with WordPress. So let's say we have connected it, but we need to check if the connection's been successful, right?
Okay.
So we come back to Google Tag Manager and we click on preview.
Okay.
Now, once we click on preview, it opens the debug window. And we can just type appmasters.com because this is where we've installed the tracking code, and then we hit connect. Now, it opens the debug window, basically. And then, you know, once it loads up, it should show Tag Assistant connected. And if it's if it doesn't load properly or if the connection is not, hasn't gone through, then it just shows it's not connected. So, okay, the window has loaded now, and it says Tag Assistant connected. So, woohoo.
Thanks.
I think we have connected it. So, great job, myself.
So, first step. First step. So, the first step was to create the Google Tag Manager.
Exactly. Exactly. So, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
So, as you can see, it says Tag Manager connected, right? Now, yeah. If I navigate to different sections on the website, say I click on audit or, okay. You know, it's just taken ages to load for some reason. But, you know, as we move through the pages here, uh-huh. If we click on audit, pricing, and then we go back here. So right now it says it's on the home page. It should be able to track all the different pages that we are visiting as well.
Okay. I have a question here real quick. Alok, I don't really belong from a developer background. Neither do I know anything about Google Tag Manager at the moment. Okay,
there
was this term that you mentioned, which was called debug window. What is a debug window?
A debug window is it's a preview window. Debug is used to basically diagnose the problem. So normally, what happens is it's a black box without the debug window. So, for example, if you install the Google Tag Manager code on the website and it's not working, you can't investigate what went wrong. But with the debug window, as you would realize, we're able to, you know, see everything, like the whole step, so like the whole funnel. So if something's not working, we can go to the debug window and we can figure out where exactly it's not working or what is broken so we can fix it.
Got it. Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. So, and we'll see it here as well while we're working on it. So,
is this the same thing? You clicked on audit and those things are appearing here? Is that
Yes. Okay. As you can see, the connection is successful and now it's tracking the different pages that we are navigating on the, you know, on the website. So I just clicked on pricing and you can see the pricing page has appeared.
Nice.
Now, let's say, what do we need to track? So let's say on our homepage, appmasters.com, we want to track something. Let's say we want to track this button click, which is see pricing. Okay.
See pricing.
Let's say we want to check how many people clicked on this button, see pricing. So what do we do? Now, Tag Manager should be able to, one, you know, track this click. But right now, the default Tag Manager, the default Tag Assistant, is not enabled to track clicks, which is why even if I click on see pricing here, and then, here. If I go back, this is the debug window. So make sure we're doing everything in the debug window. So if I click on see pricing here, now it's taking me to the pricing page. But if I go to the Tag Assistant, as you can see, it's gone to the pricing page, but it's not really tracking that click. It says window loaded.
It's not tracking the click.
It's not tracking the click. So that is the next step. Let's say we've done with the second step. Now the third step is we need to enable click variables. How do we
so that we can track the clicks?
Absolutely. Now that's a pretty simple process. You just go to variables and then you click on configure.
Uh-huh.
And then you scroll down to the section where it says clicks, and then you will come across all the different clicks. So you just check all the boxes. And then you can see it starts to collect all the click information as well, right?
Classes, element, ID, target, text, URL.
Yeah. So that's done. Enable click variables. That was simple and easy, okay? The next one is, now we need to create a trigger. Now, this is a bit tricky, but it's not that tricky, I would say.
I have a question here, Alok.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt. Why do we need to create a trigger?
Okay. Because, as I said, a trigger is a firing rule. So now we need to define a rule as to, you know, when exactly do we want it to fire?
Okay.
Right? So, So we go to triggers, and you'll know that in a minute. We click on, it says you have no trigger. So we click on new trigger, and then, you know, click here. And then, right now, let's just select all elements. Because right now we want to, you know, check the attributes or characteristics of all the clicks, and then we will zero down on the one that we want to track. Okay, so it's pretty simple. Just click on, you know, all clicks, and then you hit save. Mm-hmm. And then you hit save again. And then you submit. And then you publish. And then you skip. And then you sync for a minute. Right. Then you go back to the Tag Assistant window and refresh the connection. Right. Now, when you refresh the connection, it will ask to connect again. Right. It's connected. So now we click on continue. And as we can see, I just clicked, you know, somewhere random on the page. And now you see it's tracking those clicks as well.
Nice. This is interesting, man. Okay.
Absolutely. So as you can see, you know, you can click anywhere on the website, anywhere, and it will track it all. Right. But. Yeah.
Let's just say, for example, there's a lot of traffic coming on the website, okay? And are we going to get assigned with a particular user ID? Like it is done on the application side as well, that, you know, whosoever is going to click the, it is going to assign a custom user ID to that for the particular click. Is that something that also happens at the back end? Or just we are going to track the click that, okay, somebody's clicking. We just get to know that.
Yeah, it just tracks the clicks. The session ID tracking is probably done in analytics. It's probably done at an analytics. Yeah, might have set this up. Okay.
No, I was just curious.
So
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Variables.
Yeah.
Yep. So we can create as many variables as possible.
We can. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you can. Now you can trigger as many variables as possible. However, you need to also keep in mind as to what exactly you want to do. Right.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So, for example, if I want to track C pricing, so I'll just click on C pricing. And when I go back here, so that was the one for click pricing, right? That was the click for pricing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you go here, you can see all the variables that are available to track this particular click. Theoretically, just to answer your question.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you can track however many you want, but every click has certain attributes. If it's not available here, it's no use. And
we can do variable types also. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And despite having all the different variables available for you, we will just select one variable. We just need one variable to track it. Now the best practice is usually to select click classes, but we do not have click classes here. You can also choose click element, but right here it's too long. If you see something useful here, you know, something which is useful and unique, you can use click classes, click element. But let's say for now we would use this C pricing. Okay.
Okay.
So the variable we're going to use to track this button is called click text C pricing. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now we need to go back to workspace.
Mm-hmm.
Create trigger. That was done. Let me check that.
Well, let's see what happens.
Okay. So versions. Just going back to my workspace. Right. I'm back to my workspace. Now I will go back to the triggers.
Okay.
All elements.
Uh-huh.
And I will edit. I will edit this trigger. Right. So now I will change it to track some clicks only. And I will select click text. Contains C pricing.
So I just want to confirm here one thing, Alok. So since we were doing random clicks here and there, or let's just suppose that any user was doing random clicks here and there, so we're just able to track the click. Now, if a particular person is going to click C pricing, and we are going to do C pricing here, then you'd be able to track that C pricing thing. Okay, cool.
Absolutely. So it's not until, you know, we do this step that you understand why we were tracking all the clicks in the first place, right?
Okay.
Because initially you have to enable all the clicks. So, you know, so when you click there, it tracks it. If you do not enable all the clicks, like how do you know beforehand which click you want to track? You don't, right? So first you do all elements, all clicks. Then you find the property or the attribute of the click that you want to track. Then you come back and you modify it.
Okay. And I have one more question, Alok. So since we only had C pricing in the text, what if we have like two or three call to actions, C pricing in the same page? How would you get...
Right.
What will happen then? Or right, if you're going to have C pricing in the text instead.
Yes. I mean, that is one of the limitations of using the click text attribute, which is why it's always recommended to use the classes attribute instead of text, because text can actually be used everywhere on the website and it can generate errors. But right now, we're just doing, it's just a demo, so it's okay,
yeah.
Right? But in real life, I would avoid that completely. I would go for click classes. And if you want to, so, I mean, there are, it's a great question that you asked. Now, if you have, you know, a class which is unique to that particular button, for example, you know, unique to this particular button, and you use that class, then it will only track that particular button. But if multiple buttons across the website have the same class, then it will track across the website unless you specify it using your triggers. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I understand that.
So if C pricing here and even say C pricing on a different page or somewhere else has the same class that we are using to track or to set up the tracking using Tag Manager, then it will track everywhere. You don't need to set it up on all the pages. It's just one time.
Okay.
Right? And if you want to track just one button, make sure you select an attribute which is unique to just that button. If you don't have it, then go back to your developer and say, hey, make this button really, really unique because this is all I want to track. Or use and or formulas. For example, only this button, only on this page. That's another way to do
it. Got it.
Right. So going back, create trigger is done.
Just pricing. One moment, Alok. I am going to say hi to a few people real quick.
Yeah, okay.
Lucas is here. Lucas, thanks for joining. Hello. And then we have, I'm so sorry, but I can't pronounce the name. It's a difficult one to pronounce, but it's Soonfinmi Bularenwa. Hi, Soonfinmi. She asks that, hi, how do we get the videos after? So I'm going to say S, okay? So hi, S. Very difficult to pronounce. So this is a live stream. So you can always see this video later once the live stream has been ended. So it's all good, right? And then we have Bhavya here. Bhavya is a part of our team. Thanks for joining, Bhavya. All right, hello. Let's continue.
Okay. This is interesting. Thanks, Yash. And guys, just to let you know, we will also be slicing this video up in a condensed version. So if you just want to see the meat, then we'll probably be releasing it in a couple of weeks. Okay, coming back to it. So we created that trigger. Okay, we modified the trigger. Okay. So we are done until step 4. Now we have two other steps, step 5 and step 6, create Google Analytics tag and GA4 events tag. Now, it's a bit tricky, so watch this carefully. Now, what we need to do is that now that we have created a trigger, we need to create two tags. And the purpose of creating the tag is the first one, which is the Google Analytics tag, is used to connect Google Analytics with Google Tag Manager. The second and the second tag is used to send the event from Google Tag Manager to Google Analytics.
Got it. Alok, can you just repeat it again? It's a little bit confusing.
Sure.
I want to understand it better, yeah.
Sure.
I mean, everyone would like to understand it better.
Yeah, absolutely. So step 5, the Google Analytics tag or Google tag is used to connect Google Analytics with Google Tag Manager. Now, once you establish that connection, so Google Analytics is connected with Google Tag Manager, right?
Got it.
Now, once that connection is established, for example, it's like establishing a pipeline, okay? Mm-hmm. And then you need to create a tag to, you know, to send that event that we want to track using Google Tag Manager to Analytics. So one is from Analytics to Google Tag Manager, and the other one is from Google Tag Manager to Google Analytics, sending the event.
Okay. Got it.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's do that. Create Google Analytics tag. So I've got an analytics account here. So we go to, data collection and modification and the data streams. Okay. And then we click on, just to get our Google Tag Analytics ID. So we click here, and then we have the measurement ID here, right? So we copy the measurement ID, go back to Tag Manager. Now we click on New, and watch this carefully. This is a bit confusing. So you click on Create Tag. Now click on Google Analytics, and then you select Google Tag.
Google Tag.
Right? I mean, there's a Google Tag here as well.
Yeah.
But okay, just to be safe, I think it's the same one, Google Tag, yeah. Right? And then we copy and then we just paste the measurement ID, right?
Okay.
We go to triggers, and then we just select everything and add. Okay. So what we've done is we've just installed Google Analytics code. We've just pushed Google Analytics code using Google Tag Manager on our website. So anywhere we have installed Google Analytics on our website using Google Tag Manager. Right?
Got it.
And we've got the trigger, so we want it to fire everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Google Tag, save. So we're done with step 5. Now, step 6, create GA4 events tag.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is we click on New, and then Tag Configuration, click on the Edit Pencil button here. Then Google Analytics, and then click on Google Analytics GA4 event. This tag is used to send that event that we want to track to Analytics.
Analytics.
So, yeah. So we repeat the measurement ID. Say again? Yeah. Same ID, okay. So now it says, you see, Google tag found in this container.
Found in this container.
Right. Yeah.
This is because we had it placed earlier, right?
Exactly. So, which is why you need to do the step, which is why it says step five.
This one earlier, yeah.
And then you have step 6.
Okay.
Right, okay. And then events name, you need to click here and then click on click text, because that's the one we're using to track.
Uh-huh.
Now you scroll down and you go to triggering, and then you select seat pricing. Because that's the one, right? Because we only want, exactly, we want to trigger this event only when somebody clicks on seat pricing.
Seat pricing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, let's just call it seat pricing event.
Uh-huh.
Event tag. We can call it anything we want. Okay. So save. Now it's the standard step: submit, publish, skip, and sync. 4 steps.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So now that it's published, we can come back to our window and Tag Assistant to refresh this, and then it will refresh the connection. Click connect again. Now it will open the window again. It says Tag Assistant. Oh, okay. It's reloading the window. It says Tag Assistant connected. Connected. Brilliant, beautiful. Right. Just now let me go to see pricing and click here. Okay, I clicked on see pricing, right? Now you see this click here. Now, as you can see, it says Google Tag was fired and see pricing events tag was fired as well.
Nice.
Okay.
So when if so many tags are fired, Alok, if so many tags are fired, so for example, if so many people click on it, would it reflect the number of people as well over here? Or is this something that you're going to track on Google Analytics?
Well, this is to see, so when an event is fired, this is to see, you know, how many times an event was fired, and then you can group the data based on views or users.
Okay.
In analytics. Like you can view the data as per in analytics, you know, you can use dimensions to, you know, to segment the data, like whether you want to see it user-wise or you want to see it view-wise.
Got it.
Okay. Right. So... yeah, and when we click on, you know, Google Tag here, it says, right, so all pages was not triggered on this click. Consent initialization was not triggered, and just see pricing was triggered.
Uh-huh.
Right? So once you start seeing these here, that means, okay, the tracking has been set up. Now, the next step is you need to go to Google Analytics, and this takes a while, actually. So if you go to the debug view, you should ideally see the events that we have created there on this page. But it takes about I've seen it takes about 10 to 15 minutes for all the events that we have just created to appear here. Okay. And then after 24 hours, you should be able to see the events that we have created. Now, because we have just created the event, it won't really, really reflect here. So right now, it's reflecting the events that we created previously. Okay. Mm-hmm. So instead of book tickets, let's just assume, you know, we'll say see pricing after 24 hours.
24 hours.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
After 24
hours. Oh, this is where we get the count. That's what I was talking about. Like, how do we find out?
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, oh, this is
yeah.
where it reflects. Okay, cool.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So, right. Now, let's say we have the AdWords account. Now, let's say, you know, we can see the event here. And now we want to create a conversion event in Google AdWords because that's what we wanted to do, right? Mm-hmm. So, the simple step is we need to mark this as a key event.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Now, we go to Google AdWords. We go to Tools and Settings. And then the first thing we need to go to do is go to Data Manager and ensure that this AdWords account is connected with the Google Analytics account that we are trying to pull the conversion event from.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Data Manager. Here, Manage and Link. So as you can see, right now it shows it's connected, right?
Connected, yeah.
Yeah. So as long as it's connected, then you should be able to go to conversions.
Mm-hmm.
And once you go to conversions, click on new conversion action and then click on import.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then it will ask you, what do you want to import? You click Google Analytics full properties, web, and then you hit mm-hmm. continue. And then you can see
the conversion events,
book ticket. Yeah. Right here. Then you need to select this, import and continue, and your conversion event has been imported to Google from Google Analytics to Google AdWords. And then when you go to conversions, you can see them all there. And then when you create a campaign, now we could do another session on this on how to create a campaign with those conversion goals
those conversion
there.
Events.
So let's just stop here. Yeah, so let's just stop here. I think we've been talking for like 30 minutes already. Okay, so yeah, this is it. Yes,
this is amazing, man. This is all done without coding anything. We didn't even touch any code, dude. I like it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's gonna be awesome, man. Okay.
I mean, this is pretty. Great. I know. Like, I didn't believe it. Cause I remember when I started doing PPC about 10 years ago, I was really concerned about, you know, how is that going to do track events, and then this is how we do it. Okay, that's it. Over to you, man.
All right. So, you know what? So, as far as I've understood, Alok, once this conversion action has been added to the Google ads, now we can start running those search ads that we always do from the Google side of things and have these conversions tracked from there. So, for example, if I own an app and I have a website for that particular app, and let's just say that I have a install now button in there, I can pretty much follow the same procedure and start an SEM campaign targeting that particular conversion action which is install now that you have just did it, like, you know, just having install now as a button over there, as a tagging, like tagging it there, and has it as a conversion action, and then we can go on from there and start so it's just one thing that comes into my head, which is that whenever we set up this tracking, okay, is Google gonna, I'm not sure how do I phrase this, Alok, but let me get back to you on this in a little while, but let me see. I'll just see.
Okay.
If you have any. Yeah, it's a little bit confusing for me because, you know, it's a different language for me. I'm not on the website of things. So I have no idea what's going on. But I've understood a lot over here. It's really important to have Google Tag Manager set up if you don't know coding. And there's a lot that have come from this session. I love this one. All right, I'll just see that if you have any more comments. We don't. Okay, cool. Anything else that you would like to share, Alok? Because I'm going to revise on that question once again in my head that, okay, what was that question? And so I can phrase it again, like properly. Alok, you're frozen, I believe. He's frozen. All right. No problem. have him back in a while. So he should be joining in a while. Okay.
Okay. So regarding Google Tag Manager, like we can do it on every CMS, right? WordPress.
Yes, we can do it. Like as Alok mentioned, we can do it on Shopify, Magento. So I think with Shopify and Magento, so we just told it with WordPress side of things. With Shopify and Magento, it's pretty much the same thing. I think the backend would look a little bit different, and then we have to integrate the same container ID that he showed in the on the backend for Shopify as well as Magento. Now I'm not sure how the backend over there on those particular systems look like, but I assume that it would be pretty much similar to how WordPress's dashboard looks like. And we can just integrate the measurement ID over there. I mean, the container ID, measurement ID was a different one. I think that's something that we integrated later on when we were doing, when we were integrating tag and analytics with each other, right?
I think it would just look different. The process will be the same, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
It will just,
Oh, just one thing that I'd like to mention here from the app side of things that I've been seeing here, Dheeraj. This is still my hunch, but I believe that the H2 tags on Google Play side of things have started to work again. So, guys, if you guys are listening, make sure that you start using the H2 tags once again, because I am seeing good results from 2-3 applications now that I use H2 tags, and they have started to, the Google algorithms are actually have started to rank me better for those particular keywords now. So this is something that I really wanted to share from the app side of things. Is there anything that you have, Dheeraj, that you would like to share from the app side of things?
No, I think so. Like S21 is really good. Like we could test this up, and if it's working, it's really nice. Like it's back again. Like previously, back in the days, it was working, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, back in the days, it wasn't working. Like I still remember it was early 2023 when it just completely stopped working. It wasn't showing anything even we do S2 tags, but now it has started to work again. So that I believe is a good news. So I just got a message from Alok. It looks like he's not going to be able to join again because of the bad weather, and he has lost the electricity. This is a power cut at his place. Anyways, it's fine. All right, I believe that we should end our stream here because we don't have Alok to ask questions more on the Google Tag side of things. But I'll open the floor for you, Dheeraj. If you have anything to share from the app side of things, feel free to share it, man.
Right now, from iOS?
Yeah, anything that you see new, I think it's worth sharing.
Yeah. So as of now, I don't see any new trends happening right now, because now the market is stable right now, very stable, and we will be seeing new things coming up in later in the end of the year. I believe we'll be having some new things.
This is one thing that I'd like to share from my end. So all this while, whenever we used to create a lot of custom product pages in the App Store Connect, what we were doing is that we were submitting them one by one, because it was like a thing with us, like we were just assuming that Apple would review one thing at a time. That has been always happening from Apple's end, right? But we just got to figure out that while you are submitting custom product pages, you can submit a lot of them at once. And same goes with the in-app events. So if you're submitting in-app events, you can submit more than one in-app event at one single time for Apple's approval. So this is something that I've recently come across. And a big thanks to Oman and Bhavya on that, because they are the ones who told me about this. So thank you so much, guys, on that front.
So let's expand on in-app events a little bit. Like for in-app events, we are seeing bringing back lapsed users is working really well. Yeah.
Correct. That is right. So this is for everyone. If you guys are creating in-app events for your application, make sure that you are targeting lapsed users instead of targeting new users at the moment, because what Apple has started to do now is that they're going to showcase your in-app event. If you're going to go after all the new users, then what will happen is that if someone is going to type the name of your app or the keyword for which you are ranking at number 1, 2, 3 position, whatever it is so far, then what Apple is going to showcase is that they're going to showcase your in-app event instead of the screenshots if you're going to go after new users, which is going to be a bad thing because we always want our screenshots to be showcased instead of the in-app event to everyone, right? So that is why we should always target lapsed users instead, until and unless you are really sure that you would not like to showcase your screenshots to anybody else. So let's just go after lapsed
users. We develop the screenshots for the new users, right? So we should show them. So the new users, the screenshots.
Uh-huh.
And we could try to show the events for last users. That's the best practice right now.
Yes. We have a question here. So Lucas says, a question out of GTM topic. In an app called 30 Days to Reach Objective, how can I show the paywall? I'd like people to go trimestral. In this case, is it better to work weekly, monthly only? So this is a question out of the GTM topic, right? So I'm not sure if this is still relating to the Google Tag Manager side of things, or is it something that you'd like us to answer in a generic manner, like from the app side of things? But you said that is out of GTM topics. So I'm not sure that how do I answer this from keeping what thing in mind? Like, is it the GTM or is it the app side of things that I should take into consideration? So if you can expound a little bit more on this, Lucas, that would be really great so that I can answer this question accordingly. All right. Okay. I think we don't have any more questions here, and Alok is not here as well. So we are good. Lucas, feel free to share your question again properly so that we can let you know the answer to this. We'll post our answer in our comments once you post your question again. And that's pretty much it from our side, guys. Thank you so much for joining.
Thank you. Thank you so much for coming, guys.
Okay. Everyone, have a great weekend. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the App Masters podcast. For show notes and amazing app marketing content, check out appmasters.co.